November. Next thing you know, agnets be dropping off like flies, along with a large number of severely tanned individuals, presumably of Haitian extraction. But not the boys in the rest home. Whoa, no! Mixing this shit with the mashed potatoes done smooth it out a little, so it wouldn't kill your ass, but it sure would make you ugly. And if you's already ugly, it make your ass mean and ugly. And if you's already mean and ugly, it turn you into a strange, unknown creature never before seen on Broadway. That's right, it turn you into a mammy nun.
Head like a potato.
Head like a potato. Lips like a duck.
Big old hands pumping up.
Big old hands. Pumping up.
Big old hands pumping up.
Big ones.
Big old hands pumping up.
Science. Medieval religious costumery all over your body. Yow.
Frank Zappa with me tonight in fascinating conversation. A little bit controversial, too, at times, which is always interesting, but he has been over his career. Frank, you say in the book, and I quite like the quote, that some people say the world will end in ice, some people say the world will end in fire, but you say it will end either in paperwork or nostalgia.
Or paperwork connected with nostalgia, or nostalgia for paperwork if we ever get past the paperwork phase of our existence.
Yes, you deride nostalgia in all its forms, do you?
No, but I'm saying that it can be a rather harmful procedure to engage in if you do it to extremes. I think there's a cartoon in the book that shows people being frozen in as they're walking along, being nostalgic for the step they just took. And that's why I say the world could end in nostalgia, because if you look at the event and the nostalgia for the event, that cycle, they keep getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
How long it took to be nostalgic for the 60s, and how long that nostalgia has run, and how long will it take to be nostalgic for the 70s, and how long will that run, the 80s and 90s. The cycles get shorter and shorter and shorter, so sometime in the future the cycles will be only nanoseconds long, and you'll have nothing to do except to think about something and freeze and enjoy it, or die from it.
Yeah, but and you've just re-released, and you've got the rights to it a few years back, and you've re-released all your back catalogue. Is that not itself promoting nostalgia?
Not really, because some of the people who are buying it now are hearing it for the first time.
It's promoting your work, and it's making you feel well.
Well, I have an entire body of work, and I would like to have it all available in this CD medium at the same time, so that people can pick and choose what they want to listen to.
Is your work ephemeral, here today, gone tomorrow, like a lot of rock and roll, or is it going to last?
I doubt if it's going to last, because there's not enough of it to last.
Well, it's 50 albums or something. What are you talking about? There's not enough of it.
Well, wait a minute. Michael Jackson makes one record, Thriller, and sells 30 million units, okay? That will last. There'll be 30 million pieces of something with Michael Jackson's name on it. And if I've made 50-some albums, no, that whole pile of work nowhere near equals one Michael Jackson album.
I'm not actually talking about the vinyl or the stuff that CDs are made of physically lasting. I'm talking about the music being remembered and being valued. Now, a lot of artists are undervalued in their own times. Any area of art, this is true. And then a few years later, they are reassessed. Look at some of the Victorian painters who were lauded at the times, and now nobody's interested in their paintings. Mm. But maybe, do you have an inkling in your mind that it might be the opposite process with you, that one day people might look back and say, this man, Frank Zappa, was one of the musical geniuses of the late 20th century?
It's not likely.
I'd like to hear a piece of 12-tone classical music that you've written. What would you recommend that I can get hold of?
Oh, you can play the track from the Philharmonic album. It's not 12-tone, by the way. It's merely dissonant.
Well, that's written by you there. It must be great to work with one of those orchestras. Pierre Boulez is a man who's, as a conductor and as a composer, is much admired in the modern classical vein. And he's worked with you, and you've worked with him, and you get on like a concert hall on fire.
I like Pierre. He's a very funny man. I did an interview with a guy from a French newspaper yesterday who wanted to know why I liked him, because he thought it was odd, because he felt that Boulez had no sense of humor. And I said, I have no idea what he sounds like in French, but when he's speaking English, he's pretty funny.
Yes, in the book, somebody else has the phrase, he's as serious as cancer, that you quote.
Yeah, that's Thomas Nordig. Thomas is living in London now. He works with Warren Cucurullo, who is one of the musicians with Duran Duran. So he might even be listening to this. So if you're out there, hey, Thomas, serious as cancer.
Pierre Boulez is a Frenchman who's very into his music. What does he think of your music?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't make comments like that. He's had some unfortunate experiences in the past, and even though I've done speaking engagements with him, and that same question comes up from people in the audience, he refuses to take it about my work or anybody else's work.
I think that religious evangelism is something that you've railed against, but surely there's a lot of people who can't get out of their homes, who have lonely lives, and basically they turn on the television, they've got all that, they've got God on the television. Now, I know you look at this...
God does not live on television. And if God really is all-powerful, and if he's all-knowing, and if he's really God, he doesn't need any help from a jerk in a silk suit who's asking you for money. So if you want God, go direct. Don't use the TV, go direct.
Well, don't even bother going to church.
No.
Why would you...
You go to church because you want to hang out with your friends. You know, you want to have a relationship with God.
Listen, some people can't do that. Some people aren't as erudite and as intelligent and as animated as yourself. Some people have a fairly abiotic existence, lacking in life. And they've got there, it's comfort for them. And what is wrong with turning on and seeing some nice man in a silk suit, bringing the Lord to them?
Well, except he's not a nice man. It might not even be a silk suit. And what he's bringing to you is not the Lord.
You're just cynical about the commercialism of it. But nobody, God, I'm sure in the Bible, nowhere did God say it was evil to make money. It's just the use of money that can be.
Well, I remember a part of the Bible where Jesus went into the temple and broke things up because they were using the temple to make a profit. And to me, when I see evangelists on television doing whatever they do and then putting in that little message that all you shut-ins send me some money so I can continue my evangelical work, they're abusing these people. The people want to have a religious experience, and they should have that experience, but they shouldn't have to pay for it. A lot of people who want to have this personal relationship with God, and also like the idea of fellowship, if they don't have a local church that they go to, and they are in an isolated place, and they do fall under the evil influence of these television evangelists, send them the money, and then these evangelists in the United States, because of the way the law works, they have this cash, and it's all tax-exempt, and they convert this cash into political power. They finance campaigns, they get involved in legislation, and this process itself is in violation of our Constitution.
But Jimmy Swaggart did have a lot of courage to stand up in that church and say, I have sinned.
What else was he going to do? They had him dead to rights. And it was Penthouse Magazine that had an interview with a prostitute that he was dealing with. And she told what he was asking her to do, and also told that he was inviting her. Now, she worked out of a motel near the airport, and in this motel she kept a picture of her 10-year-old daughter. And she said in this interview that Swaggart had asked her to bring the girl to some of their little escapades so that the girl could participate in it. And there's the background on what Swaggart had done and had been doing for years was really very smelly. He didn't have any choice. I think that in many ways, Billy Graham has done some good things, and but he's not one of these kinds of guys that's on all the time just begging you for money. I think that he's got a little bit more stature, but these other guys are just hustlers. I think here you really ought to play Jesus Thinks You're a Jerk.
What's that on again?
It is one of the cuts on Broadway the Hard Way.
My guest tonight is Frank Zappa. It's just coming up to 11:30. More from Frank Zappa after the news.
I'll play that track.
News comes now from Brian Deacon.
The Prime Minister, John...
was on the Zappa interview so far. The interview now continues. Music Radio 1 FM.
piece of music now to which Frank referred after speaking in glowing terms about TV evangelism. Join us, friends. Jesus thinks you're a jerk.
There's a knuckly little weasel about 3'9", face puffed up from crying and lying, 'cause her sweet little hubby sucking prong part-time. In the name of the Lord,
get a clue, little shrew, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Jesus thinks you're a jerk. Would he really choose Tally to do his work? Robertson says that he's the one. Oh, he sure is. If Armageddon is your idea of family fun, and he's got some plan for you, now tell me that ain't true. Jimbo can't get enough of it. Let's dance. Perhaps it's their idea of an affirmative action plan to give white trash a special break. Well, they took those cheese old bumps and ran to the bank, to the bank, to the bank, to the bank. Survive the drool of micro-publicans raised on hate. And Jimbo Jumbo when they graduate. Convinced they are the chosen ones. And all and hold them cards in the NRA
on Hellfire, Melvin Hickey,
with the fingers on the trigger. When they kneel and pray,
I mean,
with the Ku Klux Mumu in the back of the truck, if you ain't born again, they wanna mess you up. Screaming no abortion, no sorry. Life's too precious, can't you see? What's that hanging from a neighbor's tree? Why, it looks like colored folks to me.
But they do that.
They've been doing it for years.
Seriously.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the dynamic Eric Buxton.
Imagine, if you will, a multi-millionaire TV evangelist saved from Korean combat duty by his father, a U.S. senator. Studied law, but is not qualified to practice it. Father of a love child who in adulthood hosts the remnants of Papa's religious propaganda program. claims not to be a faith healer, but has in the past dealt sternly with everything from hemorrhoids to hurricanes. Involved with funding for an undeclared war in Central America, claiming Ronald Reagan and Oliver North as close friends. Involved in suspicious tax avoidance schemes under investigation for 16 months by the IRS. Claims to be a man of God, currently seeking the United States presidency, hoping we will all follow him into the
Twilight Zone.
But hey, what if Pat gets in the White House?
No fucking way, I
ain't. You know what I mean? The rights of certain people disappear mysteriously.
Now, wouldn't that sort of qualify as an American tragedy? Ow, ow, ow.
If they cover it up,
saying Jesus told it to me.
I mean, babe, we're tight. We're like this, okay? I mean that.
I hope we never see that day.
Right here, it's hot. It's hot.
In the land of the free, or someday will we?
92.
Will we?
96.
And if you don't know by now, the truth of what I'm telling you,
then surely I have failed somehow. Surely I have failed somehow.
Will think I'm a jerk just like you.
If you let those TV preachers make a monkey out of you, ow, ow, ow. I said Jesus will think you're a jerk, and it would be true.
There's an old rugged cross.
Jesus thinks you're a jerk from Jesus. Broadway the Hard Way.
Announced there by Frank Zappa. Now, before I speak to you about anything else, I really do want to play Valley Girls, which is your daughter Moon Unit here, and you like it.
Yes.
Yes. It's needed. Just about your biggest hit, wasn't it?
No, actually, the biggest hit is Bobby Brown Goes Down.
All right. Yeah, it was big in Norway or something, wasn't it?
Well, actually, it's on the charts right now. It's number two in Austria. It's in the top 10 in Norway, Sweden, Denmark. It's moving into the charts in Germany, and it's on the charts in Australia. Now you figure it out.
It's shifting units, folks. Here's Valley Girls.
Valley Girl, she's a Valley Girl. Valley Girl, she's a Valley Girl. Okay, fine. For sure, she's a valley girl in a falling star. Okay, fine. For sure, she's a
like, oh my god,
valley girl.
Like, totally,
valley girl.
Encino's like so bitchin',
valley girl.
There's like the Galleria,
valley girl.
I'm like all these like really great shoe stores. I like love going into like clothing stores and stuff. I like buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. Because, like, everybody's, like, super, super nice. It's, like, so bitchin'. Like,
Aventura, there she goes. She just bought some bitchin' clothes. Tosses her head and fits her hair. She got a whole bunch of nothing in there.
Anyway, he goes, are you into S&M? I go, oh, right. Could you, like, just picture me in, a, like, a leather teddy? Yeah, right. Hurt me, hurt me. I'm sure, no way. He was, like, freaking me out. He called me a beastie. That's like his totally blitz. He goes like, bag your face, I'm sure.
Valley girl, she's a valley girl. Valley
where he's like,
Valley Girl.
He's like Mr. Boo Boo.
Valley Girl.
We're talking Lord God King Boo Boo.
Valley Girl.
I am so sure he's like so gross. Like, he sort of like plays with all his rings and he like flirts with all the guys in the class. It's like terribly disgusting. I'm like so sure. It's like, barf me out. Gag me with a spoon.
Best idea to cross her mind. Has something to do with where to find a pair of jeans to fit her butt and where to get her toenails cut.
So like I go into this like salon place, you know, and I want like to get my toenails done, and the lady like goes, oh my god, your toenails are like so grody. It was like really embarrassing. She's like, oh my god, like bag those toenails. I'm like, sure. She goes, I don't know if I can handle this, you know. I was like really embarrassed.
There we are, Valley Girls. Now, you've been through it all. Doo-wop, atonal, tonal, dissonant, 12-tone. He's looking at me as if this guy is ignorant. 12-tone music, and also, I suppose, rock and pop. We had a little bit there. And jazz as well, but somewhat disillusioned with jazz. What's the expression you use in the book for jazz? It's unemployment music.
That is a good expression. No, I think I cite in the book one unfortunate incident when we were booked on a George Wein jazz tour with Duke Ellington, Rosson Roland Kirk, Gary Burton, and I think a couple of other jazz stars at the time. And I remember seeing Duke Ellington backstage begging the road manager of the tour for a $10 advance, and I thought, boy, this is what has the world come to.
Are you a wealthy man?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Is that your
I have shifted enough units that I can afford to stay at the Dorchester, yes.
Yeah, but is that because of your back catalogue and so forth, or have you invested it well, or have you not been screwed along the way?
Oh, yeah, I think that I've made a lot of lawyers very wealthy and put their children through college. But I derive my income from my music, not from stock investments or anything like that. It's directly connected to this back catalogue.
So you're not an out-and-out capitalist?
No, I'm totally in favor of capitalism. I think it's the best way to go.
Frank Zappa, thanks for coming into the night, and good luck with your project in Frankfurt.
Okay.
What are you doing there?
I'm writing a new piece of music for the Ensemble Moderne, which will get its premiere in the week of September 14th through the 20th at the Frankfurt Festival in 1992.
Are you going to record it as well?
Yes, it's going to be recorded next July, and the CD will be out at the same time as the festival.
I hope it shifts some units for you.
Oh, yeah, big units.
Tour it. Edgard Varèse is a composer who initially inspired you. This is
Octandra.
Thank you, Frank Zappa.
Thank you.
was the extraordinary Frank Zappa, an interview actually recorded about 4 weeks ago when he was in the country. And thanks for all the calls. Seems to have gone down pretty well. I hope you enjoyed it. Amazing man. It's 11 minutes to 12 now. Tomorrow night, Nigel Kennedy, a different kettle of fiddles altogether. And Nigel will be fiddling live.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, it's my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. So happy together. How is the weather? So happy together. We're happy together.
Happy together, the Turtles. They're far sexier than Jason, if you ask me. Thank you. 8 minutes to midnight. Bob Harris is back at 12.
good like. That is like a bit good.
Mm.
So, just around the corners of your mind, do you remember, ladies and gentlemen, 1965?
One of the worst impersonations you'll ever hear, that. It's a start, I can't stop. The music he used to use as well, Ramsey Lewis, the In Crowd.
Oh. Here are the old record club. Yes. Sad, sweet dreamer. Sad because we are melancholy. Oh, wow.
Wish I'd heard that Anthony Clare thing on Radio 4. So many people have told me about it. Said that when he was on the psychiatrist's couch and said that he was absolutely impenetrable. Well, he's his own creation, so he would be. There was Ramsey Lewis before that. Spencer Davis. No, it wasn't Spencer Davis. I wanted to play you that, but I didn't. It was the Turtles and Happy Together. Quick word of advice before I go. Guard your dreams at night and lock your heart up tight. Bob Harris is next.
Your dreams at night, lock your heart up tight. It could happen to you. Don't count stars, or you may stumble. Someone drops a sigh, down you tumble. Keep an eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen to you. Was wonder how your arms would be, and it happened to me.
Great old songs, lyrics by Jimmy Van Heusen there. It could happen to you. And did it happen to you when you were away on holiday, Bob?
Well, yes, it did, actually. Had a great time.